Thank you, David. Much appreciated. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. This morning we're going to talk about the spiritual blessings of election, adoption, redemption, information, salvation, protection. Paul, one of the very greatest human beings who ever lived, great rabbi, outstanding scholar, tremendous evangelist, apostle, a special representative of the Son of God, and not just any apostle, but a very special apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, to the nations of the world, found himself in prison in Rome. He could be facing death. But now, starting the main part of his letter to his brothers and sisters in Ephesus, he doesn't focus on his own situation or complain about how unfair his life was or that he felt like a failure or how depressed he was. Instead, this great man of God begins the main part of this letter to the Ephesians by praising God for the amazing spiritual blessings that God has given each one of his sons and daughters. You want to know who you are in Messiah? You pay attention to these spiritual blessings that are yours. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Messiah. And what are some of these every spiritual blessings that Paul praised God for? He chose us in Messiah before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Messiah Yeshua, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, joined to Messiah, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, in accordance with his good pleasure, which he purposed in Messiah to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Messiah. In him, in Messiah, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Messiah, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Messiah when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Let's look at these tremendous spiritual blessings in further detail. First, there is chosenness, but I want to call it election. God the Father chose us to be united to Messiah before the creation of the world. with the eventual result that we will be holy and blameless in God's sight. Those joined to the Messiah were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Messiah might be for the praise of His glory. I told you last week that I thought it was very nice to be chosen by someone good for something good, and that when I was a kid, to form a basketball team or a football team or a baseball team at school, the gym teacher would pick two boys who were particularly talented as captains, and then they would choose the other boys to be members of their teams. And it was really exciting to be chosen by the captain of the team that you wanted to be part of, especially if you were chosen early in the time of choosing, which meant that the captain really liked you and wanted you to be on his team. Well, we have been chosen not by a captain of a team, but by God the Father, who is good and wise and powerful and worthy of our praise. And all of us were chosen very early in this time of choosing, before the creation of the universe. All of us were wanted. All of us were chosen. And we were chosen for something great. Not to be a member of a basketball or football or baseball team, but to be part of God's eternal family. And we were chosen for other wonderful purposes, so that one day we will be holy and blameless, without the slightest taint of sin or imperfection, so that we can enjoy a perfect and holy and loving God, and He can enjoy us fully and forever. And we were chosen to bring honor to this great God, to show how good, merciful, and wonderful He is. And we were chosen by God the Father, who wills these things, who wants these things, whose will is supreme, who works out everything in conformity with His will, so that no one is able to overcome His will and remove our chosenness from us. It's true that the Jewish people are the chosen people, but every Christian, every Messianic Jew is a chosen person, marked out by God before the creation of the universe to be united to the Son of God, who's united to God the Father. Marked out to eventually be holy and blameless, not just good in the sight of sinful human beings, but holy and blameless in the sight of the infinitely holy God, whose moral sight is perfect. We were chosen to enhance the glory and honor of this great, glorious, honorable God. The implications of this spiritual blessing of election, chosenness, gratitude, appreciation for the Creator, the desire to be holy and blameless now, not just sometime in the future. The desire to bring God honor and praise now, not just sometime in the future. By the way we live, by the values we embrace, by the priorities we have, by the service we give God. After election comes adoption. In love, He predestined us for adoption, to sonship, through Messiah Yeshua, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Before the universe began, it was God's plan. It was God's purpose. It was God's will, which means it was what he wanted. It was his pleasure to create creatures made in his image who could be friends of God, companions of the Creator. But even more than friends, sons and daughters. There is no higher honor, no higher position than a son or daughter of the High King of Heaven, a brother or sister of the High King's Son, King Yeshua. If you are a believer, if you are saved, if you are a real Christian or Messianic Jew, if you are joined to God the Son, whom God the Father loves, you have the highest possible status. Higher than any mere politician, rock star, movie star, more lifted up than a glorious angel, raised up above a mighty archangel, you are a son or daughter of the great Creator God. And you have all the rights and privileges, honors and blessings that go with that highly exalted status. The implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of adoption, being a good and faithful son or daughter of God now, pleasing your wonderful Heavenly Father now, assisting your elder brother, Messiah Yeshua, now in the work of evangelism, which he is still very concerned about. Evangelism outside his community of salvation and doing something to build up his community from within. Expressing thanks and gratitude to God for his love, which motivated him to make us sons and daughters. Communicating appreciation for this great gift of sonship that his grace made possible. Having an understanding of yourself based on this reality, that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, and therefore noble and precious and valuable and worthwhile. That's where you get your deepest sense of self-worth and self-understanding. Living in a way that reflects these realities and honors God your Father and Messiah your brother and Savior. Election, adoption, next comes redemption. In him, when we are joined to Messiah, we have redemption. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Redemption means to buy something back that once was yours, but was loaned or forfeited in some way. Because Adam and Eve sinned and sided with the fallen angels and joined their rebellion against God, we came under the control of the fallen angels. We lost the right to rule planet Earth. That right was transferred to the fallen angels. And we lost the right to life. We are headed to the first death, physical death, followed by the even worse second death, which is Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire. Because of our sin and our rebellion, we were sold into the satanic slave market of sin and death. Our nature was corrupted. We now have a sin nature, a nature that opposes God. But joined to the Messiah, who shed his precious blood for us, all that is changed. We are freed from the satanic slave market of sin and death, never to be sent back. We belong to God, not the adversary. We will enjoy life, eternal life, not the second death. All of our sins are forgiven, every last one of them. No more sins to offend the holy God and used against us to condemn us to hell. Our sin nature is replaced with a new godly nature. Joined to Messiah, we have redemption. But understand that it is only those in him, joined to Messiah, united to the Son of God, who have this glorious redemption, who are the recipients of this outpouring of spiritual riches, this amazing lavishment of God's redemptive graces. The implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of redemption? Gratitude, of course. Appreciation. But also service. Those who have been redeemed, bought back, purchased out of that demonic slave market by the suffering and death of the Son of God, so that they no longer belong to the adversary, also no longer belong to themselves. They belong to God. Their life is no longer their own. They've been bought with a very high price. The life, the blood, the death, the resurrection of the Son of God. They owe a huge life debt. They are to repay that debt with their lives and with their service. Election, adoption, redemption. Next comes information. The spiritual blessing of information. With all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Messiah to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Messiah. God is vastly intelligent. And he knows how to use his infinite knowledge in the best ways. He's full of wisdom and understanding. Out of his vast wisdom and understanding and knowledge, God created a plan for the universe and for humanity. He has a wonderful plan to make eternal companions for himself, sons and daughters whom he can enjoy and who will enjoy him forever and ever. That's the great plan. But humanity is terribly confused. We are born into a dark world. We don't understand the most basic truths. Many do not know that there is a God. Many don't know that there's only one God. Most don't know that there is a three-in-one God. Very few know that God has a great plan to create sons and daughters who will live with him in a whole new and perfect universe. Most don't know their need for salvation, or the way of salvation by being joined to the Messiah. Most human beings don't understand the purpose of their lives or the right way to think or live. Humanity's terribly confused. But God has made known to us, to Christians and to Messianic Jews, what his will is, what he wants, that he has a great plan, that he has a tremendous goal that everything is moving toward. He has revealed to us what his plan is that will be accomplished in time and in eternity. And that is to remove all the disunity caused by the fall of man and the rebellion of the fallen angels and bring unity to a broken universe and peace to a redeemed remnant of fractured humanity. And who is this great unifier, this great healer, under whose able and beneficial leadership the fractured universe and broken humanity will be united one day? It's not Buddha. It's not Mohammed. It's not any politician or king or general or scientist or educator. But it is the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Prince of Peace. The implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of information, power. Knowledge brings power. In this case, power to be set free. If truth sets us free, and it does, free from the deadly control of the evil spirits who control this world, then ignorance keeps us under their demonic control. Spiritually ignorant people are being kept captive by the fallen angels. Ignorance, in this case, is not bliss. Knowledge brings power. Knowledge brings freedom. Knowledge brings right thinking, purposeful living, good actions, holy living. Knowledge can bring a meaningful life followed by eternal life. With all wisdom and understanding, God has made his will known to us to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under the leadership of the Prince of Peace. We have the blessing of such important information. Let's live according to this information that will please God and will result in eternal life. What a tremendous spiritual blessing having this knowledge is. Election, adoption, redemption, information. Next comes salvation. And you also were included in Messiah when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. Human beings are in the most desperate need of salvation. Salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, the sin nature, death. Salvation from our rebellion against God. Salvation from being part of a broken universe. These are the things that we desperately need to be saved from. Salvation from these things only takes place when we are included in Messiah. The problem is that fallen humanity is not included in Messiah. The world is alienated from the Son of God. We are far from God and far from Messiah. When Messiah came into the world did not know him, did not accept him. Instead, it rejected him, opposed him, tortured him, and crucified him. That tells you where the world is regarding the Messiah. It is not included in Messiah. It is only by the declaration of the message of truth about the Messiah that Jews and Gentiles can hear the truth that can set them free, understand who Messiah is, transfer their loyalties to him and his Father, and be united to the Messiah, who is united to the Father, and experience salvation from Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death. The only way to be included in Messiah and experience salvation is by understanding and then responding to the message of truth, the good news that brings salvation. Sadly, most human beings will not respond positively to the good news if they hear it. If they do hear it and initially seem to accept it, they don't prove they are really included in Messiah by living for God and remaining faithful to him to the end of their lives. Only a remnant, a minority of human beings hear, respond, are faithful, and endure to the end, and are saved. So, what are the implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of being included in Messiah and experiencing salvation? Well, if we are included in Messiah, it means that we are part of Messiah. We are part of everything that Messiah is. We are part of everything that Messiah has. And he is a lot. And he has a lot. In fact, he has everything. So if you are included in Messiah, you have it all. Power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessing, dominion, life forever and ever. If you are included in Messiah, you have salvation. You have an absolutely sure hope of being reconciled to God and living forever. If you are included in Messiah, you can have a peace that belongs to the Messiah, a joy that belongs to the Messiah, that is not dependent on circumstances. If you are included in Messiah because you have responded to the good news of your salvation, you need to tell others the good news that can result in their salvation, boldly, unashamedly, but also wisely. Election, adoption, redemption, information, salvation. Finally comes protection. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is fantastic. Those who believe, who understand the truth about the three-in-one God, who transfer their loyalties to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are marked with a seal. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. A seal is used to indicate ownership and protection. An important man or organization may have a seal that identifies that man or that organization. When a letter or a document or, say, even an entrance to a tomb is sealed, it indicates it's under the authority of the one who sealed it. To break another seal is to defy the owner of the seal. If the seal remains unbroken, it indicates that the contents that were sealed remain untampered with and are safe and protected. We are sealed not with wax or some earthly substance. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. The Spirit of the Father and the Son lives in us. He protects us. He is keeping us safe and secure. He's preventing us from being tampered with. And He is powerful. He is almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. And that means that there is no force in the universe that can overcome that mighty spirit or remove someone from under His protection. That means that if you are a genuine son or daughter of God, you and your salvation are safe, are secure, are protected. Not only does Rabbi Paul use the analogy of a seal, he also uses the analogy of a deposit, a down payment. Among human beings, when a deposit is put down, it guarantees that the rest of the deal will go through. If, because of the redemption made possible by the Messiah, the Holy Spirit is given to us in a new and better way, you can be sure that the rest of the deal, the amazing things that God has promised us in the future, when the fullness of our redemption is manifested, things like having all of our sins forgiven, not being condemned on the day of judgment, eternal life, citizenship in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, great rewards and a great inheritance will also assuredly, most guaranteedly, be given to us. What are the implications of this tremendous spiritual blessing of protection, safety, security, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, peace, giving thanks and praise to God for the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit living in us, transforming us, empowering us, teaching us, guiding us, protecting us, living in a way that brings God praise and glory now, not just when we make it to the New Jerusalem. Joined to the Son of God, having God as our Father, having the Holy Spirit live in us, Christians and Messianic Jews possess every spiritual blessing that exists. We are the recipients of divine grace, mercy and love, chosenness, election, salvation, redemption, forgiveness, acceptance, reconciliation, righteousness, adoption, sonship, information, protection, security, peace, eternal life. How can we feel spiritually incomplete when we possess every spiritual blessing in God's heavenly high places? Why would we need to travel to some place or some man to get the anointing when these heavenly blessings are already flowing from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit to each one of us? What can they give that we don't already have? How can we feel defeated, even if our circumstances are difficult, like Paul's were, who wrote this in prison, facing trial and possible death? If we understand that every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms belongs to those who are joined to Messiah, how can we not serve God when we understand that we have been blessed with so much? How can we remain depressed when we know these truths, believe these truths, meditate on these truths? How can we fail to reach the goal of eternal life when we have such amazing spiritual blessings? The blessings of election, adoption, redemption, information, salvation, and protection. Amen.